Thank the Lord for the praises to Him and the really good songs tonight. I was thinking about songs that we sing to God, you know, whether it's at Christmas or Easter time and throughout the year. It would be hard to come up with a song that didn't make reference to Jesus' death on our behalf and His resurrection. Seems like it's in every song, in every part of the year, and especially Good Friday and Easter for sure. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? That's a well-known one. And also, how wonderful, how marvelous my song shall ever be. How wonderful, how marvelous is my Savior's love to me. And there was a popular song, kind of an informal song, but sung at many worship services in the 1950s, called It Is No Secret What God Can Do. And this song is about God bringing salvation to people as a free gift and God's great work. And it really made the number one top of the list chart for country music and gospel music way back in the 1950s when I was a little fellow there. And so some of the words were, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And we could say that about the words that Jesus said from the cross in addition to His work. What Jesus said to others, He says to us. So we take the words to ourselves tonight. First, Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He's praying for the people who are murdering Him. That's an amazing grace act of mercy right there. I usually don't ask for mercy for people and forgiveness right in the middle of some terrible thing that's happening. And Jesus really wants the Roman soldiers, religious leaders, to receive forgiveness and go to heaven. That's an amazing thing. And one of them apparently did, the centurion, and no doubt some others with them. But while they were still sinners, Christ was dying for them. And we put our shoes on with them. And when we try to push away the Lord by our sin, by our anger at Him or indifference toward Him or rebellion against Him, you know, Jesus would mercifully pray for us, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't it great to think that's His response to the sin that we have against Him? And this is a good gospel prayer. Trust in Christ. He's praying for us. And we could pray this way for ourselves, of course. When we recognize our sin in our life with brokenness and contriteness, Father, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. Even if I did, I didn't know it would take you to the cross to have the forgiveness of it. We pray that way for other people, enemies that we have. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And this sets us free and also gives the other person a chance to taste the gospel if we have a relationship with them. You know, they'll know if this fella can or gal can forgive, certainly God would too. And the forgiveness we give others, praying for them and acting accordingly is a picture of the gospel and a picture of Jesus' good news, redeeming love on a Good Friday. Father, forgive us. We don't know what we're doing. Next, Jesus says to the guilty thief, and He would say to us, today you'll be with me in paradise. The thief turned to Jesus and said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He was broken with his own need, his own sin. He confessed that to the crowd and really the other fellow next to him. Notice what the thief didn't say. He didn't say, Lord, remember my works. Or he didn't say, Lord, remember my faith when you come into your kingdom. Remember, I tried to keep the Ten Commandments, or I did the best I can. There was this one terrible thing I did, and here I am dying. It was none of that. It was just, Lord, remember me. Lord, I need mercy. I need your help. The dying words of the astronomer Copernicus was a reference to to this prayer. He said, Lord, show me the mercy that you showed the dying robber. And Copernicus, he was a devout guy. But at the time of his death, he turned to God's mercy, not his own devout practice. And that wonderful turning to Christ, Lord, remember me. It's a simple prayer, you know, and if you have a friend and you're wondering, what can I point them to maybe help them have peace with God, you could point them to this prayer. I'll say, there was this fellow over here, and he prayed, you know, sincerely, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You could pray that. Know Christ. You'll hear Christ saying to your soul, well, you'll be with me in paradise. Not only paradise, the gift of heaven, but with me in paradise. That's a great part, I think, of the assurance that Jesus was giving. And that's the news every broken sinner wants to hear. Do we get to be with Jesus in this life and in the next? Certainly that thief dying was comforted. Now here's his new Lord going through this suffering with him. And Jesus is going to die with him. And when we die, Jesus will be with us. And then with Jesus in paradise. And when you and I die, which will be in the near future, in terms of eternity, you know, it's good to face that end of the journey. By God's grace, we'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord, with Jesus. We'll be with him in paradise, present with him. When I was in grade school and even up through college, I don't know what it was about when people would take roles, I would get nervous. Maybe you still do that. If your Sunday school teacher, he or she probably doesn't say, you know, they call the name and are they here or not. And in grade school and college, I would get nervous. Would I be able to say present loudly enough? You know, would I be heard? I knew the role was called. Some wouldn't respond. They were not there. Some wouldn't respond because they were absent-minded. They were doing other things. But when the teacher called my name, it was a privilege, you might say, to say, present? Present? And the happiest roll call we'll ever hear, as an analogy or an example, is when somehow Jesus calls our name. You know, and we get to say, present. Present. Present with Jesus. And I'm sure the thief, when he got to heaven and paradise, he thought, how did I get here? How did I get here? It must have been Jesus who got me here. And he was true to his word. So the good news, you'll be with me in paradise. And then Jesus says, it is finished. Didn't want to go over all the words tonight of the cross, but just the four ones. It is finished, he says. It's a word of redemption. Debt is canceled. It was a military term that the Greek armies would often use after they won a victory and accomplished the mission. They would shout out, it is finished, with that same word that the Bible uses. And the work of Jesus finished on our behalf. Sin removed as far as east is from the west, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. In Jeremiah and twice in Hebrews, God says, I will remember their sins no more. Isn't it great if somebody said, well, you know, the work that you really need in your life has been finished. And guess who did it? Jesus did it on our behalf. So we praise the Lord for his completed work. And then the last words tonight to think together, prayer again. Seems like half Jesus' words from the cross are prayers. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And he's quoting from Psalm 31 there. So two times on the cross, Jesus gets comfort from the Bible, from the Psalms that he knew. You might say that he wrote. Lord, Father, why have you forsaken me? Lord, into your hands, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's a line out of Psalm 31. And Jesus' last moments before death. Jesus, the life, was about to yield to death. You think of the contrast there. Who would have ever thought that? God the Son, who was the life. There was no life without him. He would say, I'm gonna surrender myself to the penalty of sin, to death. He would say, no man would take my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And the defeat of death was for us. You know, I was thinking, Jesus, he could have just died on the cross and said, I'll give my life and I'm going to heaven, and the rest of you guys, you work hard to get to heaven too, and if you make enough sacrifices, you know, you'll be able to join me up in heaven. Not so. Rising from the dead, offering himself as the gift of salvation. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was trusting God, and we could trust God too. That's a great prayer to pray every morning. You face your responsibilities. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. End of the day, it's been a bad day or a good day, depending on the circumstances, maybe. If it's a day the Lord has made, we can rejoice in it. But say at the end of the day, somehow pray, Lord, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, as I close my eyes and have fellowship with you when I sleep, even. We can know that Jesus, I think, prays this kind of prayer for loved ones. He has. He thinks of you and me and says, Father, I commit this child's spirit, into your hands. I want this one to belong to you. Or praying some specific prayer for us when we're hurting. Father, my dear daughter is in terrible trial. She's brokenhearted. Into your hands, Father, I commit her spirit. I commit her spirit. Be close to her. Or here's a dear son of mine, Lord. He's in terrible predicament. Please rescue him. Into your hands, Father, I commit his spirit. You could pray that for other believers that you love, neighbors that you want to see come to Christ. And all the words of Jesus from the cross remind us of a really great important truth, that salvation, as the book of Jonah would say, salvation is of God. It's of God. As Jesus is giving his life. We could take all the efforts of people, all the efforts of religion, all world religions, and their basic message is salvation is of man. They just line them up. And their bottom line message is salvation is of us. And the Bible would tell us salvation is of God. God planned it. God the Son was born for us. God the Son was crucified for us. God the Son was risen for us. God the Father and the Son sent his Spirit for us. And God the Son is coming again. And the cross reminds us salvation is of God. So glorify God for what he has done. And remember, what he has done for others, he'll do for you. And what he does for you, he'll do for others that you love. And we know his goodness. As we close in prayer, we have a silent time of prayer with some of the words that Jesus prayed. And we prayed silently and just let God, you and the Lord, talk in the pew as you're praying these words that Jesus prayed. And we just have a time of silent prayer with these four parts of Jesus' words. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your great love for us. It was heart to heart and love given, as you were concerned about the thief. You were concerned about your mom. You're concerned about the disciple, that he would take up love toward family. You were concerned about every human that you created. And hear us as we pray, Lord, in our own hearts. Father, forgive us when we sin against you and we don't realize the impact of that. So we pray as Jesus would pray for us, we pray also.